BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Good afternoon. Back on. Thank you to Sarah Cox for yesterday. All right, Becca.
Hiya.
How was Sarah yesterday? All good?
Not as good as you.
No, that's... I'm not asking for that.
Oh.
Hey Chris. Oh. You're right. Right, so it is... Is it really Thursday home time already? God. Wow. Oh, you missed LMFAO the other night.
I know, I was gutted.
I know. How are your Duke of Edinburgh Awards? Really good?
Amazing. He's so lovely.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
And he listens to the show now, I understand.
Yep, he said he was going to try and listen, yep.
Actual Duke of Edinburgh. Wow. You missed Red Foo off of LMFAO and the bloke with a box on his head taking their leopard print leggings off and throwing them in my face.
I've heard that bit was amazing.
Yeah, a little bit awkward.
The Scott Mills Daily.
The reason I was off yesterday, I hosted the Student Radio Awards last night in fancy London with Annie Mack, and it was a lot of fun. Really good. So thanks, students, if you were there last night. Highlights for me were doing a DJ sound clash. That was good.
Who were you clashing against?
I was clashing against a DJ that used to work here by the name of Emma B.
Oh, you won then, did you?
Well, here's the thing. Do you remember Tulip Mazumdar off the news? You used to do our news here?
Yes.
Well, she was there last night handing out an award. And she
loves an awards ceremony.
Doesn't
she's
she?
Always there. I think it's people who work in Newsbeat.
Right.
Because they tend to have... They're very serious day to day. So the minute they get out of the Radio 1 offices, yeah, they just go crazy.
Well, the thing is, I like it that Newsbeat can, let's say, let their hair down.
Do you remember the time when one of Newsbeat fell out of... The male Newsbeat fell out of the ladies' loo at the big weekend?
Yeah, I do.
Mm.
They love it, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, out of anybody in the building, I would say, Newsbeat are the most hardcore.
Yeah.
They go hard. And Tulip was letting her hair down last night. She was having such a laugh. She was having the time of her life. So she was judging the sound clashes. And because she was so nice, drunk, she she declared every sound clash a draw. So it kind of became a little bit pointless. So, at one point, who was Mr. Jam on with?
Yeah, he was, I think it was some student from a student radio station.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she just kept saying draw. It was always draw.
Right.
And students were booing.
This one, it's a draw. So what's the point of a sound clash then? But she was just trying to be nice.
Mm.
So it was good.
Yeah.
And thanks to all the students who came last night to the awards.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I know this has probably been discussed already, but sorry, miss, I wasn't here yesterday. How's that leg tash coming along?
Oh, I had to shave it off for the Duke.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I thought about it, and I mentioned on Twitter, I was like, if you're going to collect your Gold Duke of Edinburgh Award tomorrow, excuse the leg tash. And I had so much abuse, and, you know, people were worried about royal protocol, whether it was okay to have a moustache on your leg when you met the Duke of Edinburgh.
They don't say that, they just say it about curtsying and stuff,
but
don't they?
Well, they hadn't told me, so I thought I'd err on the side of caution and shave it off.
Sure.
But the growth was so good in 8 days that I think it'll be perfect. If I start again now, 3 weeks' time, we'll be fine.
Okay, cool. So what kind of... Because normally it's 5 mil, right?
Yeah.
So what would... In builder's terms. So so what would you say it was, like, at its hairiest?
Oh, what then?
Then, before the
10 mil.
10 mil?
Yeah.
That is impressive.
But it's not very thick. It's
going to
be
okay.
Quite a flimsy one, but it'll be long, wide.
Sure.
But not very thick and bushy. It's not going to be like, you know, when Ian on EastEnders had one.
Yes. I do.
Not a leg dash. When Ian on EastEnders had an actual moustache, it was quite thick.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll keep you updated, listeners. It's just a few people are asking, that's all.
At the moment, there's nothing there. It's
nothing.
Not even sprouting.
Not even a sniff of a hair, is there, at the moment?
No.
Becky's taking part in Movember by growing a leg tash.
Just under the knee, so you, at your request, just so you could draw the eyes, nose and mouth on,
right,
on the actual cap itself.
So we're back at square one, listeners, basically. That's where we're at.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
It's the book that has become a phenomenon. It's the thing that everybody is talking about. It's the new... The girl who... What's it called?
The girl who kicked the hornet's tattoo.
That. It's the new Da Vinci Code, even. It's the book you'll see everybody reading everywhere. It's the new One Day. It's the book everyone buys because everyone else has got it. It's my friend Chris's Autobiography.
You must have. Did you admit that on Tuesday then?
Oh, yeah, you weren't here.
No, I wasn't, but I read the text on Monday. Some people were saying that you'd written an autobiography.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we've called it now.
Oh, brilliant.
We've embraced the fact that you can't say it.
Well, it's, as you were saying, you can read it on the toilet. It's a good thing. It's, we've created our own genre, almost.
So how's it going?
Well, it's really therapeutic. I've said this before. It's really weird sort of thinking of all these parts of my life, and it's just weird, the demand at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
Like, people were talking about it in the pub to me.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
What, you know? Just random people or your friends?
No, admittedly, mates.
All right. wasn't the people coming up to you going, your book is just incredible, changed my life.
But loads of my mates have started asking for shout-outs and various sorts.
You can't do shout-outs in a book.
Well.
It's not like local radio station. Who's been asking for shout-outs?
Well, just all the lads, just because they keep suggesting stories to me and stuff, and it helps because it's really hard to remember all of these stories.
But it's been a very exciting life, as we've heard so far. Now, we talked about on Tuesday the Golden Girls, who were the group of cheerleaders that used to be on at half-time in the Watford match.
Do you know about this, Becky?
Nope.
And there was an incident involving a birthday card that Chris tried to give to the Golden Girls.
Well, it's a Valentine's Day card, but
oh, sorry,
I was going to say, that's very coincidental if they all share the same birthday.
Oh, yeah,
Valentine's Day. Unless they're, like, triplets or
there's about 20 of them.
All right.
Ouch. A Valentine's card, that was it.
Yeah.
And what happened?
What I thought I'd do to get my number and contact details to these cheerleaders is I would write them a Valentine's card, tried to hand it over the barrier to them as they walked past the stand, and I just toppled over, and security carted me out thinking I was doing a pitch invasion.
In front of the whole crowd and all of the Golden Girls.
But I never knew if the Golden Girls actually got the card.
Well, which one did you write it to, or did you couldn't decide your favourite?
Yeah, just any of them would
have. He wasn't fussy.
Yeah.
Any of them would have done.
Basically.
Now, somebody claiming to be one of the Golden Girls did actually text in on Tuesday.
No way.
But we need to ring her back and see if she actually was. How are we going to prove that?
There must be pictures online.
Well, I can ask her about stuff at Watford, but there's no, you know...
She could lure that up, to be honest.
Oh, my God, they're so old! They're so old!
No,
And they're in, like, crazy suits!
No!
Those aren't my Golden Girls.
That's not the ones. They're the ones off the TV in the 80s.
Oh, my God, that's...
Let me see. Let me see.
That's not them. I promise you. I assure you that's not my Golden Girls.
I'd like everyone to Google the Golden Girls and those aren't the same ones.
I know it was the 80s, but they'd have still been like 50-odd.
No, three of them are dead and one of them is 89. No, I only know that because it was... No, because someone tweeted me it, actually. It's not just off the top of the head, spontaneous information.
Golden Girls knowledge.
We will hear more from Chris's autobiography next.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So let's hear some more of Chris's autobiography, 24 years at the Tap End.
I've got you a couple of extracts here from my 16th year at the Tap End.
Okay.
Shall I go for it?
Go for it. Wherever you are, turn up your radio and enjoy.
My 16th year at the Tap End. I used to sit at the back of the room in chemistry. I wasn't very good at it, and although looking back he was a good bloke, me and my chemistry teacher never really got on. But it was in this lesson that me and three others organised one of the biggest events to happen at my school, the canteen boycott.
So what's the canteen boycott? This sounds good.
Canteen prices were spiralling out of control. Chicken burgers were now £3.50.
And
in 2003, this was big, big money.
So was it, though?
Well, it, yes.
That is for a burger in a school or a college. Yeah.
How much?
Because it's normally subsidised. I'd expect in 2003 for a chicken burger in a school, I wouldn't have expected to pay more than £2.
As I said, they were out of control.
Do you know the price in all school canteens throughout the years?
Well, I could make a rough guess.
How much was a burger in 91?
Oh, that's quite a bit cheaper. A burger in 91, I would expect
in a
to
school.
Be... Yeah, about 90p or a pound.
What about a French bread pizza in 1988?
Oh, 50 or 60p.
How do you know this? The one that doesn't speak is nodding. He's obviously looked it up.
It sounds about right, though.
Do carry on, Chris.
So in the back of this chemistry lesson, a plan was made. 1 month from that day, we would stage a revolution, organise a boycott of the canteen, forcing them to lower their prices. It was a revolution.
So were you doing your own kind of Occupy Wall Street, Occupy St Paul's?
I suppose it was, yeah.
Wow. Who was involved, like the whole school?
Well, I'll go into it in my book, if that's all right.
Sure. Pardon me. Sorry for speaking.
For 4 weeks, we used chemistry lessons to create posters, flyers, signs, to put all round the school. It was incredibly sad. We covered the school in these posters. Teachers would rip them down, and we would replace them straight away. We even created a website, and I remember the website address. www.power2people, with a number 2 in the middle.
You always had to say www then, didn't you?
Power2people, 2 in the middle, .2ya.com.
That's catchy.
Why .2ya?
I think it's like a freebie site. There it is.
It's still there.
Yeah.
No one's touched it, have they?
Campaigners for Children's Rights. Children at Watford Grammar School for Boys.
Seriously?
Yeah. They just like to make it clear they don't condone any acts of violence or aggression towards staff or fellow pupils.
We took this very seriously, Scott.
Oh, my God! The 3rd of February, 2003, lowering canteen prices. And then the 13th of February, 2003, the canteen boycott.
Yes!
We made the website. Look at people and publications and all that. People. So the teachers couldn't track us. We're in code.
Which were you? Were you a chief executives? The initials are BVD, BJC and RLD.
I was a four founder, CSC. Wow. What we did is you took your name, turned it the other way around and then just did the first two letters. That way the teachers couldn't catch you.
Wow.
OMG, there was more on the committee than the... Here we go.
This is like the social network
this
of Watford.
Brilliant.
You're like the Mark Zuckerberg of Hertfordshire.
You are?
Yeah, we went for it.
Yeah.
We had a full campaign on our hands. You can see some of the posters we made for our campaigns in the publications part of the website. Have a look.
Look at this. Our demands are... You can... Bless you, Chris. You've written... Our demands are... Oh, you are. 25% or 25% sign, percent, off everything in the canteen, but we will be willing to negotiate this. We expect to see the new canteen price list placed on the door of the canteen at 8:25 a.m. on Wednesday the 12th of February 2003. If no new price list is displayed, or if there are not substantial enough price cuts, then there shall be a boycott of the canteen on Thursday the 13th of February 2003, where we shall urge students not to purchase any items of food or drink from the canteen.
Yeah, student power.
Oh, look at that. Is that you, is it?
It is. That's me.
OMG.
I was a looker.
You've got much more hair in that photo, Chris.
Only 24.
Where are all the girls?
It's a boys' school, Becky.
Oh.
Yeah, we did mention that. Please carry...
There's one there.
That's a boy.
That's not a boy with plaits, is it?
Is it? To be fair... I think it must have been a boy.
Was it just a rogue girl walked in?
Look at
it's,
that.
It's obviously
look,
a boy.
Where are all the girls? That.
That's a... Oh, yeah.
It's a bloke.
Why is there a girl there?
She shouldn't be there.
No, she's clearly got plaits.
Maybe she's come to boycott a canteen which she's not allowed to use anyway.
She must have been from a different school.
How come you've only just noticed her now in the picture?
And why isn't she getting any attention? In a boys' school, if a rogue girl walks in, surely she's the main focus.
Hey.
Not some protest in the corner about chicken burger prices.
This is brilliant.
Right.
Carry on.
We took it all very seriously, but I guess looking back, it was an important cause. The day of the boycott finally came around. The bell went for lunch and we headed towards the canteen. Excitement had been building all day. We were hyped. People started to join us. The revolution had begun. All was peaceful until someone threw an apple.
That could be a dangerous weapon in the wrong hands.
It was at this point...
It was a drive-by fruiting.
It was at this point I felt a hand on my shoulder. It was our head teacher. Uh-oh. And I was led away. The lesson I'd like to pass on, if you're going to organise a revolution, don't throw apples.
How profound.
Becky's still on the website.
Yeah, she's fascinated by it, look.
Oh, yes, here we go. No, I'm just looking at their side, the official version that's online. The event was not all successes. At 10:15 a.m, the event turned violent and objects were thrown. Power to the People would like to make it very clear that we do not condole any acts of aggression, as we are a peaceful organisation. Overall, the event was a great success. There are strong rumours that the event will be featured in the Watford Observer. Oh. This will add more publicity to the boycott campaign.
That never happened.
Did it not?
No. Nah.
Did they not call?
No, never called.
Sorry, I'm just reading the next entry, paragraph 10, sad, entitled Sad Reflections. Due to the immaturity of certain individuals, the guest book had to be removed from the site today. The right to express views was abused, which was a crying shame. Nevertheless, Power to the People still goes strong.
You've always been a campaigner, haven't you, Chris? Always been a campaigner.
Yeah.
Well, you know what to do now when the Watford Observer come round and try and ask to serialise your book. Where were you in 2003?
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, it's time for Dear Scott. This music just says, it's nearly Friday to me. Got anything to say? Drop me an email. The best way to get in touch, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Like these people.
Dear Scott, I just discovered that Noel Edmonds was born in 1948, which makes him like 62 or something. He looks proper young. I always thought he was in his early 40s. So to find this out is quite shocking. Perhaps it's his beard that makes him look so much younger. My sister says he does look 62 and thinks I'm ridiculous for thinking he was younger.
Right. He does look young. I didn't realise he was that age. But where is this going exactamore?
Oh my gosh. Just Wikipedia'd you. Apparently you're... I seriously thought you were like early 30s. Mm. I already know Becky's 30 because you took her to some place to celebrate and she fell asleep. But I haven't got two hedgehogs how old Chris is. I'd say about 22?
Not far.
24, so yeah. Close.
Yeah, a couple
Why
of years
Why was yours
up.
Beat?
I've no idea. Did she do that herself, do you think, the PR4L?
I don't know. How old are you?
I can't remember.
Do you feel like a dad because you're the oldest on the show? Maybe you should include Noel in your film, because he was once a Radio 1 presenter, according to The Guardian, and he also had a top 20 hit the same year Becky was born. I'll let you think these things over. Much love, Hannah, XXX.
Thanks, Hannah, for that, I think.
Did Noel Edmonds have a song?
I would quite like to hear that. Noel Edmonds had a top 20 hit. No, he didn't.
He was on Radio 1 as well, was he?
Yeah.
Noel Edmonds'
For years.
Song.
I'm finding that quite a lot lately. A lot of people I deem to be old have all been through Radio 1, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, mostly.
Just noticing it more and more. Edmonds as well.
Yeah, Noel Edmonds was on. Quite a lot of people.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. More than you'd realise.
It's not easy to find if he has... If he has had one, I can't find it straight away.
I know that Tony Blackburn, off of the first voice on Radio 1 ever, had a bit of a music career. I've heard that.
Right.
But not Noel. Next.
Dear Scott, I'm very excited because I think I have a story worthy of Love It magazine and certainly worthy of being included in Joe Jonas's rendition of I'm So Fat I Broke the Toilet.
Oh, yes. I love these magazine headlines from the gossip mags. Go on.
3 weeks ago, I had a huge lower wisdom tooth taken out. Mm. Unfortunately, it didn't heal properly, and I've been walking around ever since with a huge hole in the back of my mouth. Oh. Despite scrupulously cleaning my teeth and using mouthwash, as you can imagine, food tends to gravitate towards the hole. So last night, I decided to get a toothpick and carefully poke about in my hole.
Ow!
Ooh. When I rinsed my mouth out and spat into the basin, I was amazed to see a tomato pip that had begun to sprout.
No!
I was actually growing a tomato plant in my mouth.
Yes.
If I hadn't poked it out, would I have ended up with the plant growing out of my nose?
Eventually.
Anyway, what do you think? Is it worthy of Love It? Love you. Rachel, off of Ireland. P.S. How did the nip guards work? I don't think I've ever heard your opinion on them.
Fine, thanks. That was when I...
That's quite a crazy P.S.
That's when I ran a half marathon a while ago, and I had what is an actual technical term, jogger's nipple, where your T-shirt rubs on your nips and causes a lot of friction and pain. The nip guard actually worked a treat. I would recommend them to anybody.
What about growing a tomato plant in your mouth?
Love It would love that. Just email them And before you know it, you'll be on the front cover. Their front cover last week was particularly good.
Was it? What were your favourites?
I can't say what it was.
Okay.
But a lot of people were tweeting about it, including Example and Harry Styles. It was a good one last week. I'd also like you to know that I am in the Christmas edition of Love It. Yes, I am.
Why? Tomato or something? Or?
No, I'm not one of the headlines. I'm just like the man in the van. They do a thing at the back where it's like, in the van this week, it's Brendan off Coach Trip. And because I love it, and all those other gossip magazines, I said, yeah, of course, I'll put a Santa hat on and go in the Love It van. And I think that's going to be on in an edition near you. Noel Edmonds, obviously he wasn't Mr. Blobby, but he invented Mr. Blobby, yep. And that was like a hit in the 90s. But can we find anything about Noel Edmonds back in the day?
Yeah, he apparently was in a band called Brown Sauce.
Who?
And they had a hit, which is right, the year I was born, 30 years ago, with I Wanna Be a Winner.
Okay, we need to find
got
that.
Got to number 15.
What? Next!
Dear Scott, Becky, Unemployed Chris, the PR4L, STD, if he's there, the one who doesn't speak, and everybody else who hangs around in the studio. Just dropping you a small email about the transfer window closing dates for your girlfriend / boyfriend around Christmas and New Year time. There's no particular reason that I would like to know the date, just purely interest.
Okay, this is the transfer window over Christmas and New Year, which is coming up again, which means you're not allowed to split up with your boyfriend or girlfriend.
I think I'm going to say 10th of December is the cut-off.
A bit early, but...
Why?
It's just a bit early, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
They'll still have time to deal with it.
No, I think 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get over someone... What sort of relationship have you been in? You don't get over someone in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Also, I made a really very nice wooden coffee tray type thing as part of my D&T project last summer, which I thought would make a good, reasonable prize for your SMP, Scott Mills Points, rewards thingy. Just get in touch if you're interested. Love the show, especially Chris. He makes me truly ruffle. From James off of Gloucestershire. P.S. I think about now is the perfect time to start playing Christmas songs.
Already done that. I think the transfer window completely depends on when you've done your Christmas shopping.
Well, I do my Christmas shopping the day before Christmas, or sometimes on the day, so that wouldn't work for me.
On the day?
No, I had I split up with my boyfriend before Christmas, and then he put all my presents in storage, and then I went to collect them about 6 weeks later. And I took the ones that I wanted, and then some of them were too expensive. I couldn't ever take them, so I just left them. They were all wrapped and everything.
So where did they end
in
up?
Storage.
Well, I assume he got them back out of the storage and either flogged them on eBay or took them back and got a refund.
That's quite good of you, in a way.
Yeah.
Are you all right there?
Yeah.
I
took the Harry Potter DVD.
Well, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Chris, where can you go to get decent Christmas presents on Christmas Day? Garage?
No, I was going to say Offie down the road, but...
I don't even think they're open, are they?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. Oh, he loves it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets most of his trade that day, doesn't he? Because everyone wants drinks and...
True, actually.
Yeah, that's
good businessman.
The only place open round our way is, like, literally the garage, and that's it.
Is it? You could get fish and chips round ours.
And you?
Yeah.
On Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Oh, kebab
if
shop
you think
as well.
About it, not everyone
open.
Wants turkey. Some people can't be bothered to cook. Give mum the day off and get a takeout.
Christmas kebab.
Yeah. I'll have a doner, please. It's Christmas. Anything else? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Email us with anything. Anything at all.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
In answer to that Dear Scott earlier, we have found the actual track. Smooth Talking Dan has been tracking it down. God knows where he found this. So, if you've ever watched Deal or No Deal and you're aware of Noel Edmonds, this is his actual song. He's one of three members of a band called Brown Sauce. Apparently, the lyrics are hilarious. Let's have a listen. Here's Noel and the gang. Oh, my God.
Is this instrumental?
I wanna dance like Fred Astaire. Be like Superman through the air. Don't wanna
This was actual.
Who are these people?
This is actual in the chart.
I just wanna be a winner.
Just a little Oscar, please.
I just wanna be a winner.
Or a box of oldies.
I just wanna be a winner.
I wouldn't mind if it was no hell.
I just wanna be a winner.
Even Mary would serve me well. C1, C1.
Right, good. Oh, that's enough. There's a brilliant video of this track. I never knew that Noel Edmonds was a pop star.
I don't think he is.
Right, no.
No.
The video is from Top of the Pops in 1981. And Noel's doing a brilliant trick with a champagne bottle, if you want to have a look at it. It's on the Scott Mills Facebook. We put a link there. So if you ever watched Deal or No Deal, the host of that used to be a pop star. Look at Noel on the drums. Look at him go.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Have I mentioned at all that I'm making a film? Have I... Remember that?
Jog my memory.
Making a film and, like, we're all going to be in it and everyone's helping to make the film.
Rings a bell.
And it's about a weekend in May, the 14th and 15th, when it was the big weekend in Carlisle.
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you go to the Radio 1 homepage right now, you will see that I am. It's true. Making a movie. If you go to the Radio 1 site and just click on my face, we really haven't got long here at all. We've got, like, oh, how long is it now? 3 weeks? 3 weeks, and we've got to pull this together. So come on, people, I need your help. It's going to be a great film. We're making it together. It's a bit like, you know, that really good Children in Need song with everyone on it, The Collective? It's a bit like the kind of film version of that, and it's going to be just as good as that. So here's how you can help to make the film. Just literally get involved with anything. As you'll see on the website, I'm looking for people that can do animation. I'm looking for people that can simply mime along to songs, people that can do good jazz hands. All these things you can help with. Go to my pages online and you'll see exactly how you may be able to help. After six, I'll tell you what I need help with for the movie today, but I really do need your help. It's one of those things that we haven't got a clue what we're doing. So you really, if you could help us, it would be incredible. Also, on the site of the film, bbc.co.uk/radio1, click on my face, there's some little videos which may or may not end up in the movie eventually, including this, which is Ollie Murs backstage at Radio 1's big weekend in a little porter cabin with a guitar singing away. This is him doing his made-up Spanish. Not actual Spanish at all. Doing hero.
Mis combates
utumbredes.
Mi nombrate madugro.
Beautiful.
Have you checked that for language?
Oh, no. Oh, no, it's all made up. You don't swear in a made-up language, can you? Can you?
Ollie Murs probably could.
Yeah, probably. What if you could?
The Scott Mills Daily.
It's the book that the whole world is talking about. It's my friend Chris's autobiography, 24 years at the tap end. Now, bear in mind, listeners, this book isn't all just funny anecdotes from Chris's life about falling over in front of cheerleaders and starting revolutions. There are some genuinely touching bits too, as you're about to hear. We have some love, do we?
Yeah, it's a tale of love and rejection, really, this next chapter.
Do we need to get the sad music out?
I think that would be wise.
It's not a problem. Off you go.
My 16th year at the tap end. We'd been texting for 2 weeks now. I'd been introduced by a girl at my tennis club and had been working on her constantly... texting every...
Blimey.
You can't write that. Is this a final edition or has it got to go
Hang
through
on.
Some more?
Texting every 10 minutes or so. We hadn't met.
Oh.
Yeah, but... Okay.
No, he was just working on her.
Yeah?
There's like a project.
Right.
We had never met, but we're getting on great.
Do you have a website for the work you're doing on her as well with like the personnel and how the campaign's going? No?
Not this one.
No.
Let him continue, please. Supposed to be touching.
We had never met, but we're getting on great. It was like I knew everything about her, so we decided to meet up. As we'd never met, I thought it would be a good idea to bring our mutual mate along, and to even up the numbers, I decided to bring my mate Dougsy. Was a bad move.
Really bad. I could have told you that, I didn't even know the story.
We decided to meet up at a shopping centre in the centre of Uxbridge. Ironically, the same shopping centre that was used when Will goes on his double date in The Inbetweeners.
Is that the Harlequin?
It's not, that's Watford's one.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Chimes.
I love names of shopping centres.
Me and Dougsy were to meet the two girls there, do a bit of shopping, some general chat, then go to the cinema. We got on the train. I was wearing a new jumper and my trainers were box fresh. I was a little bit nervous. This was a blind date.
Had you mussed up?
I probably.
Yeah.
Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
She could have been a biffer, but I was confident she was going to be quite fit from what I'd gathered from 2 weeks of solid texting.
How do you know?
You just sort of get that impression, can't you, of people? You can sort of tell. I do think you can. It's like you can usually tell on the phone.
No, I don't agree.
Really?
No.
No. Fit on the phone, you're a biffer.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that expression, the
phrase.
Don't they?
That's it.
Really?
Fit on the phone, you're a biffer. Everyone knows that.
We got to the shopping centre, up the escalator. Hang on.
Is that a euphemism?
I had to double check that myself.
Quick work there, Chris.
We got to the shopping centre, up the escalator. We got to the shopping centre, up the escalator, and there they were. My mate and my date. I froze. She was quite fit. I went in for a cheeky kiss and mucked it all up. Oh, no, I meant I went in for a cheek kiss. Not a cheeky kiss.
I was gonna say,
sorry.
That's quite advanced. Like,
yeah.
Before you've even said hello, going in for a pat.
I was just going for a cheeky kiss.
Yeah.
Just got up the escalator.
I went in for a cheek kiss and mucked it all up. She went for a handshake mixed with a hug kind of thing. Hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I hate that.
From there, it all went downhill. I literally had nothing to say to her. We'd been texting so much, I already knew it all.
Everything.
To make up for the awkwardness, Dougsy and the other girl were getting on really well, chatting away, laughing, and I was just standing there like a muppet. For the next hour and a half, I did not say one word to her. It has all got far too awkward. It got so bad that when it got to the point where we were meant to go to the cinema, she made some feeble excuse about not feeling too well, turned around and walked away.
What film was it?
I don't know, I can't remember. Becky, a film in 2003 at the Chimes?
At the Chimes?
I learnt that if you're going to try get off with someone you've never met, don't text them constantly. And when you do meet up, speak to them.
Brilliant.
I think it was either Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, or Too Fast, Too Furious.
Probably Too Fast, Too Furious, of course.
I think that sums up your entire date.
Certainly wasn't Lord of the Rings.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, a nice little bit of Dear Scott now. Another little bout of the PR4L with the stuff that you've been saying to us this week.
Dear Scott, having been a Radio 1 listener for a couple of years now, I thought I would check out your website the other day in order to see the photos of Becky and Ollie playing Innuendo Bingo. There was a plug for Zane Lowe's show, in which a band were playing in the Maida Vale studio. Now, this confused me for a while before I realised they were referring to what I've always thought was the Maid of Ale studio. I'd always pictured a little room which was made of ale, which always concerned me, as ale would surely be bad for the electric equipment. Yours foolishly, Effie from Suffolk.
Hi, Effie. Yeah, it's Maida Vale. It's like an area of London. I have heard that before, though. People are like, what? Made of ale? Made of Vegas. Next.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris and the PR4L, I've been listening to your shows and podcasts, or free downloads, if that's what the BBC calls it now, since 2007 or so. It came to my attention that the shows in 2007 are much dirtier than they are now. Did the BBC tell you off or something? I hope not. Either way, I love your show, so meh, I was just curious. Anyway, lots of love. You very much complete me. Hannabins, said as one word. P.S. Hello, Annabelle and Cassie. Sup, dudes?
Sup. I think they probably were dirtier, the shows, back then in 2007. I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. And the reason we've done that is not because it was a BBC thing. They didn't complain. But it's because Becky came on the show and she is quite famously a prude.
I started in March 2008, so if that was the change, if the 2007 ones are dirty,
yeah,
and then from then on it's cleaner, then...
It was a lot to do with Laura, really, because she does know a lot of dirty jokes. But, yeah, since Becky came on board, we've just had to tone it down a little bit, because you know what she's like.
I hate any sort of innuendo, yeah, anything like that.
Well, it's Miss Health and Safety, isn't she? Do this, do that.
Do that, Health and Safety,
Health,
yeah,
and Safety. Yeah.
So that's why. Anything else you want to say about the show? Anything you want to tell us about? Maybe something really weird's happened to you or really exciting lately. That's what Dear Scott's for. It's your chance to have your say about anything. Email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Put Dear Scott in the subject. Your email might be read out by a posh lady from Radio 4 this time next week.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
On the free download tomorrow, you can get all the episodes so far of 24 Years at the Tap End, Chris's great autobiography. And a few of you have been on saying that it sounds a bit like a song from the Streets. And we think that you're right.
We'd been texting for 2 weeks now. I'd been introduced by a girl at my tennis club and had been working on her constantly. We had never met but were getting on great. It was like I knew everything about her, so we decided to meet up. As we'd never met, I thought it would be a good idea to bring our mutual mate along, and to even up the numbers, I decided to bring my mate Dougsy. We decided to meet up at a shopping centre in the centre of Uxbridge. Ironically, the same shopping centre that was used when Will goes on his double date in The Inbetweeners. Me and Dougsy were to meet the two girls there, do a bit of shopping, some general chat, then go to the cinema.
Dry your eyes, mate. I know it's hard to take, but her mind has been made up. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Dry your eyes, mate. I know you want to make her see how much this pain hurts, but you've got to walk away now. Over.
We got on the train. I was wearing a new jumper and my trainers were box fresh. I was a little bit nervous. This was a blind date. She could have been a biffer, but I was confident she was going to be quite fit from what I'd gathered from 2 weeks of solid texting. We got to the shopping centre, up the escalator, and there they were, my mate and my date. I froze. She was quite fit. I went in for a cheeky kiss and mucked it all up. Oh no, I meant I went in for a cheek kiss and mucked it all up. From there, it all went downhill. I literally had nothing to say to her. We'd been texting so much, I already knew it all.
Dry your eyes, mate. I know it's hard to take, but her mind has been made up. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Dry your eyes, mate. I know you want to make her see how much this pain hurts, but you've got to walk away now. It's over.
To make up for the awkwardness, Dougsy and the other girl were getting on really well. Chatting away, laughing, and I was just standing there like a muppet. For the next hour and a half, I did not say one word to her. It has all got far too awkward. It got so bad that when it got to the point where we were meant to go to the cinema, she made some feeble excuse about not feeling too well, turned around and walked away. I learned that if you're going to try get off with someone you've never met, don't text them constantly. And when you do meet up, speak to them.
Dry your eyes, mate. I know it's hard to take.
Isn't this beautiful? Get this and everything else from today's show on the free download tomorrow on the Radio 1 homepage.
BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.